Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. My name is Julie Selman. I'm head of EMEA at Magnite, and I'm here joined today by Dan from Heineken, programmatic lead. And our session will be about streaming is a drink of choice. So we're going to discuss different strategies Heineken is employing in their marketing at the moment. But because we're on the streaming stage, first wanted to ask you, what are you streaming right now, Dan?
I'm currently a bit behind the time, so my favourite show at the moment is Ozark. So no spoilers from the crowd as well. So if you have seen it, please don't tell me what happens because I'm about 5 years behind you all.
Awesome. So no spoiler alerts. I kind of wanted to say what I'm binging at the moment, which is Netflix, but it's a bit embarrassing. But starts with Ultimatum. It's quite good. So let's get into it. From the outside, I guess Heineken is quite a traditional sort of brand in terms of marketing, a large budget spent on traditional TV, sponsorships, live events. How is Heineken approaching this new world of TV consumption, streaming, and how has it sort of changed your strategy?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a different one because I think if you ask people what they define as TV now, there's a different answer to it because the consumption of linear has changed massively in terms of from younger audiences, they don't necessarily watch as much. So I think the definition of TV is anything sort of consumed on a big screen, but also, you know, through smaller screens at the same time, like people when they're commuting, watching BVOD, everything like that. So it presents challenges and opportunities for us at the same time. So the challenge is obviously as people migrate away from linear TV, the big broad reaching channel that we have there is slowly declining. However, we do see it as such an important part of our business still as well, because you still will get broad comms off the back of it. However, the opportunities that we see is the advancements in the likes of SVOD and AVOD players who are coming to market now. So the likes of Amazon, who are bringing their advertising product out, Netflix, for example, we're even looking at sort of Discovery Plus and Disney. So the opportunities are kind of endless for us. But the way we're looking at it is, you know, we need to be going to a one video strategy, essentially. So we need to make sure that we're kind of planning for outcomes and audiences as opposed to channel specific first. So for example, if we're looking at a campaign that's 25 to 54, it's obviously going to encompass multiple different video touch points, but how do we use the right channels for those specific audiences as well? So that's the current state of play we're in at the moment. And we're hoping to evolve that strategy later over the next few years too.
Super interesting. Thank you. So kind of building on that, obviously TV consumption is changing. Streaming is becoming more on demand. There's less sort of, hey, I'm turning on the TV and I'm just watching what I'm watching. But live sports is still kind of that moment where, you know, you sit with your family and you have that experience. How are you guys approaching that? And how do you sort of tap into that highly engaged live audience?
Yeah, so live sports is always going to be a big one for us as well. And if you've been watching any of the football or any sports recently, you would have seen the Moretti and Cruz Campo ads being spammed at you as well. So that's a really important part for us because we know it's got that mass reach element. And it's probably one of the only moments still in linear where people will watch together, because with series, for example, now people can watch them on their own time and they can binge watch. It's kind of going to a way that people actually want to engage with content. However, with sport, it's always a live moment that people want to watch together and enjoy those moments together. So obviously being across sporting moments such as, you know, football, rugby, the Euros, for example, is always going to be key to us. But with that comes challenges because there is still limited inventory around those key moments. So the question for us as a business now is, how do we tap into those other elements? So we're seeing more growth in terms of the digital platforms. So if we look at sort of Amazon Prime coming out with the Champions League rights from next year as well, DAZN obviously got a big market on the boxing at the same time. So we probably anticipate there'll be more growth out there. Like even Netflix have got boxing coming up now as well. So I anticipate we're going to see more digital platforms owning those sporting rights later down the line. But what we need to then take a look at is when people are watching sports, there is the second screen element to it as well. So people will be digesting content on their phone, whether that's through social channels, through contextually relevant sporting channels, for example, if you're checking other scores when you're watching a game. So we need to make sure that we have that dual capability to reach them in those moments so we can re-engage with that user. And I think it's really important for us because I think we, with Heineken, it's so synonymous with sport at the same time. So making sure we keep that ownership of that relevancy is going to be key for us going forward too.
Fantastic. Are you doing a lot for the Olympics?
Not that I know of, no.
Cool. So can you walk us through a bit of a case study or an example of a recent campaign, and how do you sort of approach planning, activation, and also measurement, which I'm sure is very tricky with all these different platforms?
Exactly that. And I think just to touch on that point as well, measurement is probably one of the biggest things for us at this moment in time. I think when we're bringing more budget within to digital channels, measurement is always the key part. And I think that's the thing that we really need to be on top of. And we need to understand how these channels are working for us as well, and not just, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll drop it off the plan. We need to consistently tap into this new technology and understand how we can use it for the benefit of us. But in terms of some of the campaigns we've been working on, we've obviously owned a numerous amount of brands. So the one we've actually tried to build our video strategy on was Inches. So we've kind of gone for an approach where we have TV and BVOD as the crux and the core of our campaign. But we know with Inches that 18 to 34 year old is one of our biggest markets and our growth consumers. So we need to make sure that we're tapping into those environments outside of TV, because we know that obviously over indexes for an older audience. So what we've been looking to bring in is mass amounts of CTV, because we know the users are going to be across there. We're looking at testing obviously Prime Video, because we can actually use Amazon audiences to understand, you know, that cider audience and who has been purchasing at the same time. But we're also looking at how do we then complement it with other online video channels at the same time, and social as well, because we know that all channels work together from a multi-touch point of view. And then when we look at measurement off the back of it, we want to see what the incrementality uplift is. So actually working with Magnite at the moment, we are looking at the incrementality between linear TV, BVOD and CTV, because we need to understand how those channels work in tandem, and we need to understand how those touch points deliver the business results that we need to see as well.
Fantastic. And thanks for working with Magnite. Great. So in your role, obviously you've explained already a bit, but it's very data-driven, marketing-led. What does it really mean when you say data-driven at Heineken? Like, what kind of data do you have access to? How do you use it to make decisions and sort of planning your campaigns? Like, what's your actual data footprint?
Yeah, so with our data footprint, we are obviously quite broad when we're looking at our targeting as well, because we obviously want to look at growth, and alcohol is one of those purchases where it's, you know, it's quite a frequent purchase as well, but it can be done on such an impulse. So we need to understand our audience a bit more. I think one of the questions that we always have is, how do we understand our audience as we keep on evolving? So first party data is obviously going to be a big part of how we actually sort of tap into those audience moments. The difficulty for us as a brand is, how do you collect those first party data pieces as well, because obviously we're not a retailer. A lot of our brands are sold in store and in pub, so we don't necessarily have that connection as much. So what we try and look at is sort of those value exchanges with our consumers at the same time. So whether that's, you know, free pint offers, engagement competitions, you know, they work really well for us, and it helps us better understand our audiences as well. But I think when we're looking at from data from our perspective, when we're looking at planning, we want to make sure that every different brand has a different data strategy. So let's say, for example, we've got a few brands in our portfolio, the likes of Cruise, Moretti, Inches, Strongbow, all of those will roughly have the same demo split. So essentially, if we're live at the same time, we're going to be cannibalizing our own activity. However, we need to use those different data sets from the audiences that we have to understand what moments those brands are going to be tapping into more. So let's say for Cruise Campo, it's about the relaxation, the spontaneity. That's what we kind of want to bring to life with, you know, the civilian way of lifestyle. Moretti, it's looking at those moments around, you know, eating and dining out. So how do we look at those signals and understanding of when people are going to be going out for dinner, for example, as well? Strongbow, similarly, around like festivals as well, it plays a big part. So that's always going to be a big part to us. But I think the other side of it is the measurement piece, and how that we can utilize data in campaign into our future planning strategies. So we actually ran a campaign on Cruise last year for when it first launched. And bearing in mind, we had very limited brand awareness because it was a Spanish brand. So what we wanted to try and do is bring to life the brand through our digital activations. We had quite a limited budget because of we wanted to go for a big launch, but we still wanted to try and drive rate of sale. And at that point, we had a couple of suppliers that we were working with. So we worked with Nano from a search intent point of view in YouTube. But we wanted to look at how programmatic advertising has an effect on retail sales, because we don't necessarily see them. Off the back of working with Circana as well, we actually saw that programmatic advertising does drive an uplift, not only within the campaign, but after the campaign period. So we do see it does have that long-lasting effect, which I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily associate. So really strong results off that. So with that activation, we are taking that into a lot of our planning going forward now as well. And it's making a big part of our digital activations as well for 2024 and 2025.
Awesome. Sounds great. Yay for programmatic.
Yeah.
So recently, it was last year, there was a really cool campaign for Strongbow.
Yep.
Which is a really nice Heineken brand, obviously. And you use data to target what I guess is a traditional target audience, yeah, but slightly in a different way. Could you tell us a bit how you're using those new audiences and how do you sort of tap into them?
I think because everyone wants to have the, with the beer brand as well, you're going to be quite traditional with your comms relatively as well. So obviously, you know, your broad video comms are going to be there. Out of home is always going to play a big part as well. But we really need to understand how we continue to engage our consumers as well at the same time. You know, we have, with our brand, you know, they can skew to multiple different age groups. So we need to have a way that we can engage with them through different touch points. So with Strongbow last year, we actually created a game for Strongbow Ultra, one of our sub-brands within that mother brand. And it was around two goats racing each other. So very simple game that we worked with Hoopla on, you know, very engaging, but it drove a significant amount of engagement and it really, really helped us in terms of, you know, building that audience up as well. Because with that, we had a competition piece at the end of it as well. And we saw numerous entries coming into that. So what I think that will always be the touch point of driving that engagement, having that end piece for someone to actually win something off the back of it. But we also did another one with Moretti last year as well, which was around the linking channels that we've never necessarily linked together. So our above the line comms with, you know, your traditional media, with below the line, so in store, so glassware competitions, for example. And what it was, you scan the QR code. It was kind of like a hide and seek sort of thing of trying to find like pizzas around different landscapes of Italy. But off the back of that, you could win Pasta Evangelist courses, you could get free glassware. And we really saw significant engagement and significant consumer delivery across that as well, within the sort of sales of Moretti, but also across our sort of data point of view as well. So a lot of signups were coming through, a lot of people were engaging with the brand, and that's how we keep them in the category at the same time as well. And I think with Moretti, it's such a popular brand, so we want to make sure we're continuing to do those similar activities as well. So I think it's taking those learnings and continuing to build on them going forward in the next few years. So watch this space, we'll probably be doing something a lot more exciting going forward too.
Sounds really cool. And I love Moretti and Pasta Evangelist. It's a good combo.
Yeah, it works really well. And I think, you know, it's one of those ones that it kind of goes hand in hand. It works well for both brands at the same time, because there is that element of, you know, you really want to build on the Italian credentials. And Moretti is such a nice beer and it's really crisp. And we want it to be a pairing with food at the same time as well. So that is one of the really good partnerships we've done.
But we're close to lunchtime. I think everyone is like, oh, hungry. great. So, well, food-related, cookies.
Yeah.
So obviously data, cookies are meant to go away, or are they not? At some point they will, probably next year. How are you preparing for this? You know, Dan, but also Heineken. Yeah. And have you already shifted away from cookies a lot? Do you have any learnings that you can share, advice?
Yeah, I think from our point of view, we're not as reliant on cookies as some brands would be. I think from a retailer perspective, it's obviously a lot more difficult when you're trying to build attribution windows and trying to build a sort of an attribution model off the back of it, because we are reliant on cookies to understand what sales are coming through from a post impression, post click point of view as well. And I think that's obviously going to prove a lot of challenges. Obviously with the extension, it does give people more time to think about how they're going to deploy that in 2025 and going forward from that as well. But I think from our point of view, a lot of our audiences are, we are targeting, you know, we can target contextually. So that's always a big push for us as well. And we want to make sure, like I said before, is that we're playing the brands in the right spaces and at the right times. So like where we said, Moretti's going to be more around sort of food. The Cruise Camper is going to be more around sort of spontaneity. And, you know, it's bringing different elements of targeting in as well, like looking at location, looking at, you know, contextual, everything like that is encompasses. But then it's also looking at different data points from partners that we work with at the same time. And this is where we really like work. We like speaking to new partners and understanding what they can bring to us as well. I think the likes of Captify, who we work with quite a lot as well, their intent audiences are really beneficial because we actually understand what we need to be delivering and, you know, that are the perfect time to reach that audience. And similarly, like what we did with Nano around the ID-free targeting as well, that sets us up for a good base when the cookies do eventually leave. But then like the likes of Gum Gum, contextual targeting, you know, they're really important pieces to us. But I think, you know, we're willing to use any point of data that we can get our hands on at the moment as well and help it build in with our CMI team, because they are doing a lot of work in the background to help us understand our brands a bit more and what the shifts are and what the trends are looking like at that time as well. So it's going to be a really interesting one. And I think, you know, we have been planning for it for the last couple of years. I think this year, the vast majority of our activity will be cookieless. But then it's looking at the measurement off the back of that and understanding, did those cookieless solutions actually work for us in the long run as well? So time will tell if it does.
I think your LinkedIn might blow up after they said you love working with new partners. And I'm sure there's plenty here in the room thinking, oh, we have just the right solution for you. Great. So obviously, ad tech, which is sort of my world, is constantly evolving. New opportunities to target, like we discussed, reach, engage audiences. Are there areas that you're interested in exploring or testing out? Are you doing some cool new stuff already as a brand?
Yeah, so I think from a measurement point of view, I think this is where ad tech really comes in to help us play as well. Because obviously, like I mentioned, looking at those different sort of Circana studies and bringing those elements in to understand how we could look at building an offset, off-trade sales, but also looking at the likes of footfall data and location data and overlaying that. I think that really helps us out because we can understand how many feet we're actually bringing into the pubs as well, because that's still a big part for us to play and that's going to help us win in the category. We are obviously looking at AI, which is obviously a massive buzzword, and I imagine a lot of you are probably going to go to a lot of sessions around AI, but I think that's going to be becoming a lot more important now as well in terms of helping us, not just from a planning perspective, but also from an optimization perspective as well. I think when we look at our activity, you know, using the likes of custom algorithms to help us optimize in a much more efficient way than a standard trader probably could do, is going to help us massively to grow as a brand and understand where those growth points are. I think from an ad tech point of view, obviously we're seeing more growth in market for the likes of, you know, not just online video, but the likes of CTV. So I think that's where it's probably been the biggest, because we're seeing a lot more partners coming into the market, but you're actually being able to use those data sources across the big screen now, which is massively important for us, because with some of our brands, they're not necessarily going to be able to have the budgets for TV all the time, but they still want to play in the big screen spaces. So being able to tap in that, not necessarily for the mass reach perspective, but for the relevancy perspective, is going to be really, really key for us as well, because we really want to start driving, you know, impact across those brands who haven't necessarily had that footprint before. So I think it's, you know, over the next few years, loads of different things are coming out. I think 5 years ago, we wouldn't have anticipated some of the tech that we see today. So it'll be interesting to see how the next couple of years sort of play out here as well. So really looking forward. If you've got any new tech, obviously give us a shout. We're more than happy to sort of look at those tests as well. But I think it's going to be sort of a big year. And I think, like we said, you know, we're constantly evolving. We want to constantly innovate. So that's going to be one of the big parts for us too as well.
Are there small brands that are testing, for example, CTV now that have never been on TV?
Yeah, so we've got, so I think the Old Moot, for example, is another one that we've got on the cards as well. So they haven't necessarily been the biggest brand when it comes to sort of TV budgets, but we have got them on CTV and we're pushing them through now as well. I think when we're looking at most of our brands that are going on TV now, we want to have that CTV space there as well. So obviously looking at the partners like Samsung and LG, where we can tap into that sort of ACR data that they have through. Obviously, looking at different SSPs that we can tap into as well at the same time to understand what program is going to over-index for our key audiences. And then how do we sort of work in tandem with the likes of linear TV and BVOD for the bigger brands is going to be key. But I think for the smaller brands, it's that footprint, and that's the way to get in for us as well. And we want to see the results off the back of this. So I think it's going to be an interesting time in 2024 for our video strategies.
Fantastic. So AI, obviously a buzzword. Another buzzword, environmental sustainability. There were some sessions about it this morning. I guess the push to clean up the, you know, programmatic ecosystem is really becoming more prominent. And Heineken, obviously, as a massive manufacturer, has been doing a lot of work already for probably many, many, many years in things like factories and sourcing materials and things like that. How does it translate sort of now into towards the marketing department, the media buying department, things like SPO? Is that important for you guys?
Yeah, I think it is becoming a lot more important over the last few years as well. And obviously we want to be as conscious as possible about what we're doing as well as a brand. And from a marketing perspective, you know, from a programmatic point of view, we need to be conscious of everything that we're doing as well. So when we work with partners, we're obviously looking at sort of the greenest solutions that we can possibly run. So a lot of the partners that we work with now are trying to help us out in terms of our sort of, like you said, in terms of our supply path and understanding, you know, what we're actually doing as a brand. So we're tending to work more now with brands who work for the likes of Scope 3, for example, as well, to understand what we're actually doing from an emissions perspective as well. And how can we make that more green from our side? We're obviously working with a lot of companies who are B Corp at the same time as well. So we're actually running some tests with Mobster this year to understand, you know, around the green media efficiencies and what it actually does for the business at the same time. So that'll be a really interesting one. But I think it's always a challenge as well, because when it comes to programmatic, you know, you need to take into consideration absolutely everything. So the DSPs, the SSPs, the DMPs, obviously how it actually goes on your phone, how it goes on your desktop. So, you know, working with the likes of Seen This, for example, is another one, because, you know, streaming is actually a lot better way to actually deliver your advertising across the open web. So how can we be more conscious of using that from a creative standpoint as well? But it's everything that we're looking at. And I think as a business, we want to make sure that we're all over that from our perspective as well. From an out-of-home point of view, you always use recycled paper now going forward. So we're trying to bring that into the marketing department as much as possible. And I think, you know, things will just continue to be front of mind as we go over the next couple of years too.
Fantastic. Thank you. I think you've given wonderful advice so far. I just wanted to ask one question more about you. Yep. I know you came from the agency side. Now you're in sort of the brand side. What does your day-to-day look like? It seems very busy across many, many different things. And how is it sort of different from when you were on the other side, I guess? And how do you work differently maybe with partners?
Yeah, it's really did change. So I think from coming from a media agency background and then going into a brand, you're just so focused on media. But the media part of the Heineken business is very, very small. So we have an in-house team of about 17 or 18 of us, which we've in-housed in 2019, just from a digital side of things. So it's really interesting to see how the business is starting to work more as well. I think from the way we work with partners, we like to keep ourselves, you know, still keeping on top of all the technology that's coming out in the market. You know, we always want to speak to partners as well and understand how we can bring innovation to our business. I think obviously coming from working with the brand teams is something we can do, and we can really showcase our, you know, creative thinking and, you know, giving the ideas of what we should be doing as part of, you know, as the media team, because we're the ones looking at all these new pieces of technology. We're the ones who are looking at all these new ideas in the market. How do we continue to grow them? How do we continue to grow these brands? And, you know, the brand team might come to us with a challenge, for example, and say, we want to do something really cool. How do we activate it? We'll look at it from the logistics point of view and then understand, you know, is it doable? Is it not? But it's kind of working in tandem with them, which is a really beneficial thing, I think, from our side of things as well. You know, 11 years at agency, and then coming to Heineken for a year, has been a lot of things to get used to, a lot to learn about the business as well, from everything from, you know, brand side to understanding around distribution sides and everything like that, and all the brands that we have under there. So
how many brands do you have?
Oh, there's loads. I wouldn't be able to tell you off the top of my head, but, you know, the big ones that we activate, you know, we've got Heineken, obviously Cruz Campo, Moretti, Strongbow, Foster's, Old Moo. So the list is endless as well. So I imagine all of you have probably had a Heineken brand over the last couple of months as well. But I think the other focus is, you know, what we're doing around sort of 0.0 as well, because we're understanding that that is going to play a big part in terms of our comms as well. And, you know, I think responsibility is another thing that we want to focus on at the same time, because there's always a choice. So the 0.0 activations that we're doing are going to be really good this year as well. So, yeah, I'd say keep an eye out for those.
Love 0.0 as a non-drinker. Yeah. It's my favorite.
It's definitely the best. I think it's definitely, I'm not just trying to do a plug here, but it's definitely the best 0.0 beer.
I agree. But I had the Moretti the other day.
Moretti one's good as well. Moretti's really good.
Yeah. Really, really good. Great. So we're kind of at the end of our session, but I had one last question. I already told you what's my favorite drink. What is your favorite Heineken drink?
Favorite Heineken drink is definitely Moretti. That's not just a plug either, but it's Moretti. Cruz Campo is a very nice beer as well, but just has to be Moretti on a nice hot day in the pub garden. That's the best thing.
With a bit of pasta.
Yeah, maybe a bit of pasta, but yeah. But it's, yeah, that's my favourite as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being so open and sharing so much. I think it was super valuable information. Thank you so much. And thanks for coming, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.